Welcome to the Political Cesspool, known worldwide as the South's foremost populist radio program. And here to guide you through the murky waters of the political cesspool is your host, James Edwards.
Welcome back to the second hour, my friends, ladies and gentlemen. It is the Political Cesspool radio program, Saturday evening, March the 20th, as we broadcast to you live from flagship radio station in Memphis, Tennessee, AM 1380 WLRM, and going out to the AM/FM affiliate stations of our syndicator, the Liberty News Radio Network. Catch us online at thepoliticalcesspool.org and libertynewsradio.com. Winston and I shared a very heartfelt first hour in which we didn't really cover a lot of political issues per se. We were reading emails, sharing personal thoughts and reflections, and I hope you enjoyed that. With Keith Alexander being out from his normal chair as co-host during the first hour, we thought we would do something a little bit different. I hope it was enjoyable. It certainly was for us, but there are still 2 hours left in tonight's broadcast, and they are going to be chock full with a lot of contemporary issues that have made headlines over the last couple of days since our broadcast last Saturday. And that being said, let's get down to the discussion right now as we welcome our first featured guest of the evening, a very good friend of mine for a number of years, Dr. Virginia Abernathy. She retired as Professor Emeritus of Anthropology at the Vanderbilt University School of Medicine. She remains an active fellow of the American Association for the Advancement of Science. Her volunteer activities are principally board membership for the 501c3 organizations Population Environment Balance and Carrying Capacity Network. Virginia also serves on the editorial advisory board of the Occidental Quarterly and the Occidental Observer, two publications with which we share a great relationship with here in the political cesspool. Dr. Abernathy, welcome back to the program.
Thank you, James. Thank you.
It's good to have you back. I don't think you've yet made an appearance in 2010, so we're rectifying that right now. But I was just perusing your excellent website, and if folks want more information, they can go to virginiaabernathy.com. We have it linked from our homepage, thepoliticalcesspool.org. Tell the folks, before we get started tonight with our discussion of your signature issue, immigration, about your website and what can be found there.
Oh, well, make sure people pronounce my name right so that they spell Abernathy. Abernethy.
That's right. It could be tricky. Some people might want to put an A in there.
That's right. So I cover the issues that I think are important to the country and usually have a comment and then a news article. So people don't have to believe what I say. They can just go to the news article. Sometimes these are overseas news things that might not ordinarily hit the mainstream mass media.
Well, as I said a moment ago, you are known primarily throughout, for lack of a better word, the Patriot Movement or the America First Movement as an ardent defender of an America First immigration policy. You are certainly well known for your writings and thoughts on immigration, but as I was going through the website, I mean, you have certainly been tracking other issues. The release of Unsundle is one that I saw prominently featured there, as well as many others. So the people can get a cornucopia of commentary there at virginiaabernathy.com, and I want to recommend folks check that out with my heartiest endorsement. And as she mentioned, Abernathy is spelled Abernethy, virginiaabernathy.com. So check it out. Do yourself a favor.
Thank you for mentioning it. Thank you.
Legislatively speaking, Dr. Abernathy, is there any activity pertaining to immigration going on in Washington right now, good, bad, or indifferent?
Well, what might be bad is a rally that is being organized by La Raza, which means the race, and they are advocating for amnesty. Amnesty for illegal aliens. The official number of illegal aliens is 12 million, but there is a great deal of good independent evidence from business analysts and from Border Patrol agents and officers who've testified before Congress that makes it likely that our real number of illegal aliens in the United States is 20 to 30 million. And so any talk of amnesty starts out with a fraudulent official number of 12 or 12 and a half million. And whether or not that is a fraudulent number, amnesty would be a disaster for the United States, because all that does is promise people that they can become citizens. All they have to do is come illegally first and get established here. That's obviously flouting the law. It's against every principle in the United States of being a law-abiding country. And besides that, of course, we really do not need even legal immigration at the level it is going right now, because we do have a resource crunch. Oil is only $80 a barrel now, but it has been, as we know, up to $147 a barrel. And a lot of people project that it's going to be going up again. And we have potential water shortages in many parts of the country. We are losing topsoil every year through our mode of agriculture. In other words, I think it's important to husband our resources, and they will be no more than enough for the number of people we have in the country already.
I want to ask you a question about this big rally, because I've read basically the headlines of it, but I haven't gotten into the meat of it. I want to ask you a question about that, and then I want to ask you a follow-up question for folks who perhaps are tuning in for the first time. First of all, you mentioned that La Raza is organizing this big march in D.C., this big rally. What exactly are they clamoring for?
They're clamoring for their number one wish list is to legalize the people who are in the United States illegally. It's been an invasion, mostly from Mexico, but from other countries as well. And so these illegal alien invaders, which number probably between 20 and 30 million, would be made legal and, according to the rhetoric that we hear, put citizenship. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
I just heard a beep on my end, probably. So they would be put on a path to citizenship. And this is a disaster for the country, because they do take an enormous amount of our public funds, the fiscal costs of having illegal or legal aliens here is enormous, because they use public services at a much higher rate than American citizens use them. And also they are competing for jobs, and at a time when we have very high unemployment, we just can't, it's just not fair to take immigrants for jobs when Americans need those jobs. It is not fair.
Well, it's interesting. So you say that they're up there to advocate for a change. It's not good enough for them to have a law that isn't enforced. They just want the law to cease to exist altogether. And so is there any reaction from the American standpoint, or from the American view? And when I say the American view, I mean people who want to, abstain from having our country relegated to that of a third world flophouse. Is there anybody that loves this country that is going to do anything, or what would you advise them to do to raise awareness for our point of view on the issue? What are they doing?
I think that when the Senate and the House settle down on this issue, we will rally against it the way we did before. We shut down all of the telephone lines into Capitol Hill. The time, let's see, it would have been in 2008, when the McCain-Kennedy amnesty legislation was pending, and we shut down the whole Capitol Hill switchboard. And I'm sure Americans will do that again, because there's an enormous rejection of this idea that people should be able to come in here illegally and then become citizens. In fact, jump ahead of the people who are coming legally. We do not need that legal immigration either, but right now people would be focusing on what is illegal alien invaders, which will be stopped, and I'm sure we will stop it. But the point right now that is energizing Americans is to stop this health care legislation, and that has an illegal alien and non-citizen aspect also, because as the bill passed by the Senate is now written, it would be possible for illegal aliens and others to use the benefits.
Dr. Abernathy, hold that thought right there. We're going to let you pick up right where you're leaving off after this word from our sponsor. Sit tight, everybody.
Cesspool guys, we'll be back right after these messages.
Don't let me be misunderstood. Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be misunderstood.
Don't misunderstand me, baby.
Don't let me be.
Jump in the political cesspool with James and the gang. Call us tonight at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
All right, everybody. James Edwards and Winston Smith here with you on the political cesspool this evening. We have Dr. Virginia Abernathy, the very accomplished and celebrated scholar and activist, with us for one more segment. We learned in the previous segment about a rally sponsored by La Raza taking place in Washington, D.C. It kind of makes me think of the old Creedence Clearwater Revival song when the American government asks the illegal aliens what they can give. The only answer is more, more, more. And the fact that there is even a debate on this issue is puzzling to me, Dr. Abernathy, because as Lou Dobbs would so often point out with his CNN polls, well over 90% of the American citizenry is with us when it comes to the issue of closing the borders and having more stringent immigration control measures implemented. So, you know, the fact that the American government hasn't asked the American people or done what the American people are clamoring for would seem to be a little bit strange, but I guess not if you know the full dynamics of what's in play up there in Washington.
Well, since when has Congress really listened to American people, their constituents, unless we threatened and made it stick to vote them out? They're not listening, or if they were listening, they would not even be considering discussing this amnesty. However, when people get elected, they make promises, and we know that President Obama and others made such promises, and so that's why we're having a discussion right now, and it will come up, I think, after this health care bill is settled. So,
we're really setting a poor example throughout the world as to what we think of our country, at least our government is. And I want to ask you a rather elementary question here for perhaps someone who has tuned in for the first time. We've often said on this radio program, if you listen to our show for 4 years, you'll have the equivalent of a PhD in political science. But let me ask you a rather basic question, and that question would be the question we hear all the time: what's wrong with this immigration? Now, you've talked quite a bit about some problems that some negative effects that immigration is having on our environment and some other elements. But people would say, well, America's the great melting pot, and you've heard this tired old argument time and time again, I'm sure. But to me, what it comes down, and I was able to say this once on a CNN appearance, is that you can't have, at the end of the day, it boils down to this: you can't have a first world nation with a third world population. And if we're going to behave as the new Rome, we'll pay the price that Rome paid. And if we want to build up this Tower of Babel, we'll surely fall, because there have been no civilizations throughout the history of recorded history, and correct me if I'm wrong, that have had such a multiracial, multicultural presence and lived to stand the test of time. Is that really, at the end of the day, what it's all about, Virginia, our very survival?
I think it is about our survival, and there's no question that a society with a homogeneous culture is much stronger, and one with multicultural values and reality is much weaker. And they are not prepared to face any kind of emergency. We may be facing emergencies, and only the tip of the iceberg has been this economic crisis we had last year and may have soon again. There was an interesting study by a professor at Harvard, Robert Putnam, who looked at what happens to countries and societies and towns where there is a lot of diversity, and he finds that people stop trusting each other. And they stop trusting not only those in other ethnic groups, but they stop trusting even people in their own ethnic group. And there is much less participation in voluntary activities. Now, voluntarism, our old Rotary Club and our Elks Club and church organizations and so forth, they have always been the strength of the United States. As people gathered together and did good things for the community. But all of this kind of voluntary participation and trust in each other goes down in a multicultural society, according to Professor Putnam.
Well, and like I said, we've seen it time and time again throughout the history of the world. And, you know, I don't know why America would believe that we're going to be the first nation in which this experiment has worked. It's insane to believe that,
yeah,
that we would be the exception to the rule here. So for that reason and all the others that you've already mentioned and others that we don't have time to get into, immigration, you know, unrestricted immigration is a bad idea. And I love this country, and I want to see it survive. And that's not to say that I don't want all nations and all people to survive. I just want them to enjoy the beauty of their own countries, and let us have ours. We'll let them have theirs, and we'll all, enjoy peace from afar.
It's the fashion now among the United Nations people and some of the people in high places in our own country to talk about the joys of multiculturalism and about the danger of a stable or declining population. But I think that what we're looking at down the road is that the countries that are homogeneous and have a stable population or even a declining one are going to be in much better shape, because there's no question that water is not an infinite resource. Fresh, clean water is not an infinite resource. Topsoil, which we're using up and destroying at a great rate in this country, is not an infinite resource. We know what happens to countries without topsoil. Look at Haiti. And we have taken our beautiful topsoil in Iowa, for example, which used to be 12 feet deep, and more than half of it is gone. And that process just continues. It's just one example of the way we're using up our resources with no thought to the future, and how you can't keep using up resources and increasing your population without those two lines crossing and soon facing scarcities. And higher prices is the way scarcity is manifested at first, without really harming the population you already have. So our first loyalty ought to be to Americans.
Well, absolutely. And, you know, the problems stemming from this illegal alien invasion are as wide-ranging as problems pertaining to the environment, as you've mentioned, to a story that we provided commentary on last week on this radio show, and I think I sent you an email to it. Is one of the most bizarre stories I've ever read, and it came from the Associated Press, no less, so obviously a very mainstream resource, and it was a story that let it be known that the illegal aliens are apparently setting up armed camps, drug manufacturing camps, within the interior of our national parks, Yellowstone and Sequoia National Parks. Deep within the interior of those parks, you have armed camps in which illegal aliens are, apparently producing just obscene amounts of illicit drugs. And this is something that the American government knows about. And the park rangers say, well, you know, we just don't have the resources to get in there and clean them out. So, you know, that really reflects a nation that's on its way out if current political trends don't turn. And you know, I shared in my email to you that apparently the American military is too preoccupied with other problems to, you know, worry about a small petty issue illegal aliens in national parks manufacturing drugs. But nevertheless, you know, for that reason and so many others, this is a bad idea. I know people out there are outraged and they want to do something about it. And we just have a couple of seconds before we're out of time, Dr. Abernathy, so I'd like to give you the final word. Recommendations, as we always ask you at this time in the interviews when you're with us, recommendations for organizations people can join where they will make a proactive difference on this issue. Where can they go?
I think we have to have confidence in ourselves and pride in ourselves and in our history and the people that we are. We have to have confidence in what America has been and try to bring it back.
Dr. Abernathy, hold that thought. We're going to bring you back just to give out some a list of recommendations right after this. Sit tight.
Medical cesspool, guys. We'll be back right after these messages. Get on the show and express your opinion in the political cesspool. Call us toll-free at 1-866-986-6397.
We got to get out of this place. All right, we were about 30 seconds. We needed about 30 seconds more time in that last segment before the commercial break. Dr. Abernathy, a final word. I was just asking you to provide a couple of websites for people to look into to where they could perhaps be a part of the solution on this problem.
Well, of course, I think that the most important thing is to get an immigration moratorium. That means stop illegal immigration, but also legal immigration ought to be limited to it no more than 100,000 a year until we get our situation under control here. Then I think we ought to be putting troops on the border, and their orders should not be so mild as to just observe. Their orders should be to repel illegal aliens as though it were an invasion, which it is. It is an invasion from Mexico. And I think that we have to do this in order to stop the drug flow, as well as to stop the illegal alien invasion. And the Border Patrol should be welcoming volunteers who would do the service of watching. In the meantime, the military and the Border Control should take much stronger action than that. We need to get tough, in other words. This virtual fence, which is now admitted as a failure, we all knew it would be a failure. It was a contract let to Boeing Airlines, but Boeing instantly subcontracted it to an Israeli company. It was clear from the beginning that this virtual fence would not work, and now Homeland Security Chief Janet Napolitano admits it. We need a real fence on the border backed up by the military. Now, as for websites to go to, I know two which are advocating an immigration moratorium. And the first one is Population Environment Balance. You mentioned it already. I'm on the board. And the other one is Carrying Capacity Network. I'm also on the board of Carrying Capacity Network. So do check out those organizations. You can find them by going to Google and then typing in Population Environment Balance, Population-Environment Balance, and also Carrying Capacity Network. I don't want to go into your next segment, James. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for coming on. It's a pleasure as always, and I'm already looking forward to the next time, and I'm sure I will see you soon at some point this year.
Look forward to it. Cheers, and have a Patriots all. Bye-bye.
Thank you so much, Dr. Virginia Abernathy. Everyone, check her out, virginiaabernathy.com. Bringing Winston Smith back into the mix here. He's been sitting there more than patiently as he listened to the interview. Any follow-up words on any of the information Dr. Abernathy shared with us, Winston? Anything
I just wanted to say, bye, Dr. Abernathy.
He's gone.
Dr. Abernathy was talking, I was looking through my worthy thoughts folder. As you know, James, I keep up the files of Winston Smith, and one of my files is worthy thoughts, my favorite sayings and thoughts from great people. And one of them is from H.L. Mencken, and he said something that was apropos. He said, what is commonly described as racial or religious prejudice is sometimes only a reasonable prudence at the the bottom of it, there is nothing more wicked than a desire to prevent dominance by a strange and more or less hostile minority. Now, another thing that came to mind as Dr. Abernathy was talking was George Washington, you know, a truly great American. In fact,
they don't teach about George Washington anymore. Explain to the audience who George Washington is. If they went through public education within the last 50 years, they might have skipped him in history.
Mm-hmm. Well, one thing that that President Washington said that has stuck with me was his warning against foreign entanglements. He warned us to stay away from foreign entanglements. Don't get involved with foreigners. Don't get involved with foreign nations. But what are we experiencing with immigration now but the most insidious type of foreign entanglement? We're bringing them into our country and allowing them to run the country. We're allowing foreigners to have ultimate political power over citizens. This is a foreign entanglement of the worst kind, people. We should not stand for any of it. What George Washington warned against, as far as foreign entanglements is concerned, it doesn't just mean with our government. It doesn't just mean with our dealing with other nations. It means with foreigners. Don't get involved with them if at all possible. And yet here we are, James. You know just as well as I do, all of you know, that whenever there's a conflict between American citizens and these illegal aliens, it is the American citizens, mainly the white American citizens, who are expected, nay, demanded that we acquiesce our rights and we acquiesce our culture in favor of the foreigners. When George Washington issued that warning, he was speaking to white America. America was still a white nation. And he meant that we should not have anything to do with foreigners, domestic or abroad. And that includes, dare I say, the Africans who were brought in as slaves. That was the biggest mistake of our country's history, was having mercy upon these Africans that were being brought into America mainly by Jewish ship owners. If you look back at the roles of the ships that carried the slaves, there are a lot of Jewish names as the ship owners. The fact of the matter is, James, that Jews were up to their eyeballs in the slave trade, and now we have, that was the beginning of the worst foreign entanglement that this country has ever experienced. And then we have the likes of Teddy Kennedy, who ushered in the Immigration Reform Act, and his words were that his bill would not substantially alter American culture. It would not change the fabric of American culture. Well, we know what a lie that turned out to be, and yet Teddy Kennedy is still being lionized to this day. Folks, we need to look at the immigration issue for what it is. It is the worst kind of foreign entanglement. We are bringing the foreigners in. We are allowing the foreigners into our midst, and we are giving them power over our own government. It should not be tolerated, and we should heed what Dr. Abernathy said. We should demand a moratorium on immigration, all immigration, and we should put our troops down on the American border, down the South border, where they belong, where the real conflict is, where the real problem is, where the real issue is that can drastically alter this country, that can truly destroy this country.
You know, I've always marveled that the American government can see in its infinite wisdom to send our brave men over there to secure the borders of just about every nation in the world, or every country in the world. Obviously, nation pertains to people, and country pertains to land. But so they can send them over there. Yet we are actively being invaded this very night, and have been for a number of years. And the one place, the one country you won't find any American military personnel is on the border of the United States and Mexico, or the United States and Canada. I just think that that's utterly amazing, Winston, particularly when you take into account the thousands of different examples of why immigration and why this invasion is bad for America. And there was another one that we blogged about this week. The American government, if you can even call it that, is just so disconnected with reality. The federal government is accusing, apparently, Los Angeles schools of civil rights violations. And here's the story. And of course, what's the basis of this federal investigation into civil rights violations in Los Angeles schools? It seems that the Mexican kids don't speak English very well, and you know they can't handle basic math either. And because of that, the federal government is accusing the LA school system of violations of civil rights of these Mexicans. And here's the story. From Los Angeles, the United States Education Department announced an investigation Wednesday, that was this Wednesday, into whether Los Angeles schools are serving the needs of students who do not know English. Ramon Cortinez, superintendent of the Los Angeles Unified School District, is cooperating with the investigation, officials said. Assistant Secretary for Civil Rights, Ruslan Ali, said only 3% of the students in the English learner programs are proficient in math and English. At this time, we have reached no conclusion as to whether any violations of federal law exist, Ali said, but the number of Hispanic students and children of color in Los Angeles is large. It is critical that all students in the district receive equal access to quality education. If civil rights violations are found, we will seek to put them to an end promptly. All right, so Winston, now apparently it's a violation of civil rights to if illegal aliens can't read or speak English. That's our fault. We can take a break. We'll talk about it in a minute.
Right after these messages.
We gotta get out of this place. If it's the last thing we ever do, we gotta get out of this place. Girl, there's a better life.
Welcome back. To get on the political cesspool, call us on James's Dime, toll-free, at 1-866-986-6397. And here's the host of the political cesspool, James Edwards.
Okay, Winston, I want to cover two issues very quickly before we run out of time this hour. And then, of course, at the top of the next hour, we're going to be hearing from Gordon Baum, the CEO of the Council of Conservative Citizens. But before we get to Gordon, Winston, I wanted to turn that last issue over to you. I was telling you about the story in which the federal government is looking in to see if there were any civil rights violations in play because the Los Angeles school system can't get these illegal aliens to read, write, and speak English at a proficient level. Well, first of all, let's not forget that in order to become a legal immigrant of the United States, you have to be able to read, write, and speak English fluently. But when you're dealing with illegal aliens, it's a whole other animal. And Winston, what do you make of this story?
I wonder why it wasn't declared a civil rights violation when that California school district decided to ditch its science program because Africans in America were not able to do well in the science classes. You remember that story, James?
Oh, yeah, we covered it on this program. They completely cut out science. Science is not a subject taught in a great number of schools there in Los Angeles anymore because black students aren't good at science and they don't like science. But, you know, that's all well and good. We can you know, deprive white students and other students who are interested in subjects that matter. We can deprive them of that. That's okay. That's not a problem. Only people like us on this radio program talk about, you know, the need for science in the world, but this is a problem right here because, you know, it's America's responsibility. It is the responsibility of these teachers to make sure that the illegal alien invaders are able to speak English. And when they can't learn it, it's a civil rights violation. What rights do they have? They're not even citizens. I mean, what is this?
They shouldn't even be in the schools. And James, you know, to blame the teachers is ridiculous. These teachers are not the ones who are setting the policy. Why not establish a policy in which the students have to speak English? How is the policy the teacher's responsibility? The teachers are just administrators of the policy. They administer the curriculum. They don't set the curriculum. If these administrators want there to be a Spanish language curriculum, then they need to establish it. But right now, the solution, as we know it will be, if this lawsuit sees the light of day, it will be to deprive the white students. And then what should happen is the parents of these white students should file a civil rights lawsuit against the administrators because they are depriving their children of the education to which they're entitled.
America is a sick country. Any country that picks and chooses which laws to enforce is a very sick country. And when you allow political correctness to guide you in the decision-making process, it becomes even more perverse. Keep in mind, and I hate to throw this little fact out there, but it seems as though it's been completely lost in any reasonable debate pertaining to immigration. But don't forget that it is a felony to come into this country illegally. So these people are coming into the country illegally, going to school, on the taxpayer's dime, and instead of it being pointed out that, hey, you know, you're here illegally, your parents don't have green cards, they don't have visas, they don't have anything, no driver's license or nothing, you're obviously an illegal alien, you know, it's against the laws of this country for you to be here, unfortunately, you got to go. Instead of that being the case, our own government, knowing full well that that is the case, is pursuing federal charges against the teachers and against the school district because they're not teaching these illegal alien gate breakers English well enough.
Once again, James,
that story is sick on so many levels. I really have a hard time even wrapping my mind around it.
Well, James, this is one more example of what George Washington warned us against. This is a foreign entanglement. We have foreigners here. They're here illegally, and this is an entanglement. We're now suing American teachers because they are not able to accommodate foreigners who are here illegally. Who's benefiting? I want to know who is going to benefit from this lawsuit. It certainly won't be the white kids. It's not going to be the non-English speaking kids because they're still not going to get the kind of education they need. They need to be back among their own people and getting an education. And if their own people can't give them an education, then that's their government's problem, not our problem, not our government's problem. It's a foreign entanglement.
Well, you know, Winston, I mean, in any logical debate, this would be such an open and shut case that it would be decided in a matter of seconds. But we live in a very unreasonable country if you're a European-American, and it's just sad because all we're asking for in this case is that the United States follow its own laws. And not only are they not following their own laws, they're creating laws to be used against decent people who are trying to do their jobs in favor of the people who are breaking laws to be here in the first place. So that's sick.
James,
check it out if you want to read more about it. We've blogged about it at thepoliticalcessbook.org. I encourage you to go take a look. Now, we only got a couple of minutes left, and I really want to get your commentary on this because this was another issue that you and I talked about before the program tonight as we were waiting to come on the air here in the studio. And that was the prank that was played out at a Walmart store in New Jersey. And I'm going to cut to the chase quickly because we don't have a lot of time. Basically, a teenager picked up a Walmart intercom and said, "All black people, please leave the store now. Attention Walmart customers, all black people, please leave the store now." That's what he said. Now, that was a prank. It was in poor taste, but it was a prank nonetheless. And what you have here now is because a juvenile went on and said that simple sentence on a Walmart intercom, you have a county prosecutor saying that what an extreme, you know, they're feigning all of this pseudo-hysteria. Extremely disturbing. Statements like these can cause harm, and it's of grave concern that we address this as quickly as possible. So basically they're going to be pursuing, I'm sure, hate crimes charges against this teenager who did this, who pulled this prank. And, you know, Winston, you were bringing out a good point earlier about what happened. Now, this is national news. Now, what a sick country we live in that a teenage prank, and again, it was in poor taste, but a prank nonetheless. A teenage prank makes national news in this country. That's how sick this country is. What happens when situations like this, of which there are dozens each year, turn out to be hoaxes? Now, you get all this national news at the beginning of it, and then when it comes out to be a hoax, what happens then?
Well, folks, as James said, this was a teenage prank, and the way it should be handled is that kid should be turned over to his parents, and his father should administer a sound thrashing. He should be grounded until he's 21 years old, and he should be put on a very short leash. That's what this was. This was equivalent. It was just a prank, nothing else. But we have fraudulent hate crimes. We have hate crime hoaxes that get swept under the rug. James, you blogged about this extensively a couple of weeks ago when the University of California system was sent into a tizzy because a minority student tied a noose. And before it was found out that it was a minority student who did it, it was being played out as indicative of the rampant racism in the University of California system, and how the black student unions were demanding these ridiculous concessions from the school administration.
And what happened to that furor when it was turned out to be once again, a hoax by a minority?
Oh, it was conveniently swept down the memory hole. But James, this goes back to something that we said on this program and a while back. What this kid did was in poor taste, and it was a prank. But these hate crime hoaxes, they need to be treated as hate crimes themselves, because they truly are hate crimes. They are meant to send a signal to an entire community, and that is the white community, that you cannot say, you cannot take a single step, you cannot utter a single word without fear of somebody taking offense at it. This prank should be swept under the rug because it's nothing. It is nothing. And yet there are people who go to prison over fake hate crimes. Not long ago in Memphis, James, you remember it, it was discovered that there were some nooses being hanged in one of the firehouses, and that was being billed as an example of the systematic racism within the fire departments of Memphis. But it turned out that the noose was made by an African in America and hung by him. It wasn't a white person. I've got a thick file of hate crime hoaxes in which it was meant to show how white people are racist, but it turned out to be perpetrated by a non-white.
And that's the point. Turned out to be a white, but see, you know, whites work for a living, so we don't typically have a lot of time to do stuff like this. But had it turned out to be a white fireman, he would have not only been fired, he would have probably landed in jail. But when it turned out to be a black fireman, well, the story never is talked about again, and there's no repercussions whatsoever. And, you know, again, ladies and gentlemen, we're standing here on the front lines bringing these matters to your attention because we feel as though it's important. It's important on so many levels. You must demand equal rights for all, special treatment for none. And with that, we got to take a break. We'll be back with the third hour right after this.
Of tonight's installment of the Political Cesspool, coming your way right after these messages.